हरि ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम आप्यायन्तु ममांगानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु। तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सुप्रभातम् सर्वेषाम्। नवरात्रि शुभाशयाः। समवेदीये केनोपनिषदि द्वितीयः खण्डे चतुर्थः मन्त्रः। वि सीइंग दि फोर्थ मंत्र ऑफ दि सेकेंड सेक्शन ऑफ केनोपनिषद बिलोंगिंग टू समवेद। द फोर्थ मंत्र इज एज वी नो वेल द वेरी beautiful mantra. It is the first quarter itself. Upanishad teaches us how to arrive at the truth of the whole as the immediate self, as the nearest truth, as the very content of I, as the truth of every cognition. We need not undo the thoughts. We not struggle to practice meditation, to put the mind to sleep, to resolve all the thoughts. We must be entertaining the thoughts. In spite of the thoughts being there, we need to carefully discern the inseparable abstract reality consciousness from every cognition, in every cognition from the thought. Consciousness and thought are equally subtle, inseparable. But still here, that is why discerning is very important. So reality should be understood only by discerning consciousness from the thought in every cognition. And the consciousness alone should be claimed as the self, as a swarupam of the knower. That's what it was said, bodham bodham viditam, pratibodha viditam. Only if it is, if the abstract formless reality is discerned from the thought and distinctly known as the self, then the truth becomes known. The truth is known. Otherwise, truth is not known. Still, ignorance is there. It's very important to know the truth because in knowing the truth itself is knowing moksha, knowing the immortality, understanding immortality being its very nature of the truth. How can we understand the nature of the reality, Atma being immortality, if we do not know what Atma is? Only by knowing the reality, we can understand that immortality being the nature of the reality. So understanding immortality being the nature of reality is attainment of immortality. That is why it is said to discern such abstract consciousness from the subtle thought and claim that consciousness alone as the self, to understand one's nature being immortality, is dependent on highly focused, disturbance-free, pure mind. That is why only through that prepared mind one can attain knowledge, which itself is the strength. Attainment of knowledge is the strength. In knowledge there is strength, in ignorance there is weakness. The strength of knowledge can be attained only if a person has prepared mind. We understood all this. Again, they said, it is only by knowing the truth to understand its nature being immortality. So, Vidya Amritam Vindati, a person attains moksha, immortality, only through knowledge. We understood this. The meaning of this was very beautifully. So, according to Advaita Vedanta Darshanam, absolute reality is abstract, formless, and it is of the nature of consciousness. And being conscious is the very sorupam. Sorupam means that which does not undergo any change at all. It is, reality is ever of the nature of consciousness. That is how reality can be arrived at. Reality has to be, can be arrived only in terms of its nature of being conscious, nature of knowing. We understood. So having explained, having committed upon this mantra, Bhagavad Pada wants to show the limitations, the inadequacy observed in the thinking of other philosophers. So in the previous class we saw Bhartruprapancha's view. Ajnanakarna Samuchevadi Bhartruprapancha says something diagonally different. When a Vedantin says consciousness or knowing is the nature of the Atma, Bhartruprapancha says knowing is action of the Atma. And we saw how if we take knowing as an action of the Atma, how there will be logical fallacies, how there will be problems, etc. We understood very clearly previously. I'm not going to elaborate on Bhartruprapancha's view again. I've already sent that small note for you. I'm sure you remember all that. And now, today we are going to see how Bhagavad Pada negates. Bhagavad Pada already negated Bhartruprapancha's view, stating knowing is not an action of the Atma. Knowing is the very nature of the reality, Brahman Atma. Now, what about this other school of thought? Now, we're going to see. So, Bhartruprapancha, of course, is a Astika Darsh, he accepts Vedashastra as the Pramanam, but still his view is wrong. The same way, Vaiseshika Matam, a system of philosophy known as Vaiseshika Matam, also has a different view, a view which differs from Vedanta Darshanam. Of course, Vedanta presents the vision of the fact, and a school of thought, a system of philosophy, has its view. And the proponent of this Vaiseshika Matam, a Vaiseshika system of philosophy, is Sage Kanadaha. Kanadaha. And Kanadaha, being a proponent of the Vaiseshika Matam is also known as Kanada Matam. Anything pertaining to Kanadaha is Kanada. So Kanada Matam means a system of philosophy propounded by the Rishi Kanadaha. So Matam here means a system of philosophy having their own contention view. As a side note, why the sage Kanadaha? It is not important for us, but still better to know. He is known as Kanadaha. So Kanadaha is a great thinker, though the limitation is in their understanding of their research. Claiming themselves to be Vaidikas, the people of Kanada Matam, but they heavily lean on logic only. They do not take Vedanta Shastram as the primary means. As a result of which, they end up with the wrong conclusions. Because inappropriate pramanam, the means of knowledge is not the right means of knowledge, then that naturally there will be errors in their perceptions and their views. Kanaha, kanaha means a grain. Is also kanaha. Any grain broken is called kanaha, apart. And as a sage, he lived his life going around taking alms from people, and he used to live his life. And people used to give him grains. I mean, it's called Unchavritti Jivanam. Unchavritti means Unchavritti. Vritti means livelihood. Unchavritti means going door to door with a container, collecting grains. And then cooking and eating that grains, those grains. That's why Kanan Atti Iti Kanadaha. Atti means eater. Kanaha means a grain. Kanan Atti Iti Kanadaha. Eater of grains collected collected from people. Kanadaha. So living his life, such a life, he did a dedicated life, now involved in propounding his system. But because leaning heavily on logic, taking Veda as a secondary means, though accepted Veda as the pramanam, so they have certain limitations in their thinking. According to Vaiseshika Matam, Atma is inert matter. Mind is also another inert matter. They don't say this matter is one. There is Atma, which is inert matter. Inert substance or matter. Mind is also inert substance. And being inert, both aspects being inert, they have to combine. How they combine, there's no explanation. But they believe Atma and mind combine. So combination of Atma and mind is important. Only then consciousness can originate in the Atma. So in the inert substance, Atma consciousness originates. Only when the mind combines with the Atma. A consciousness which originates in the Atma becomes an attribute of the Atma. Attribute means what? So inert Atma becomes a conscious Atma when the consciousness originates. But for consciousness to originate in the Atma, mind has to combine with the Atma. Even though mind contributes for the origination of consciousness in the Atma by combining with the Atma, thereby Atma becomes conscious, the inert Atma becomes conscious, but mind continues to be inert. Mind never becomes conscious. Mind continues to be inert. So we say conscious, inert Atma becomes conscious Atma means the word conscious is what now? Becomes an attribute. So according to Bhartru Prapanchaha, consciousness or knowing is an action of the Atma. According to Vaisheshika Matam, consciousness is an attribute of the Atma, originating in the very Atma. Whereas for Vedanti, consciousness is the Swarupma of the Atma. See the big difference. Consciousness or knowing, it is Swarupma of the Atma for Vedanti, for Advaiti. Whereas consciousness is an action of the Atma according to a Jnana Karma Samuchayavadi. According to Vaisheshika Matam, knowing or consciousness is an attribute of the Atma. And consciousness as a beginning, it originates in the inert Atma and for which mind has to combine with the Atma. So only in the waking state and in the dream state, there is origination of consciousness in the Atma. That is when mind and Atma combine. Whereas in deep sleep state, there is no combining of the Atma and the mind. They remain separate. Therefore, consciousness does not originate. Therefore, Atma also remains inert, mind also remains inert. This is the view. And this Atma is timeless, all-pervasive. Look at this. Timeless and all-pervasive. So it's timeless, all-pervasive Atma. They say timeless and all-pervasive. And the contradictory statement is, there are many jivas which are Atma. It means Atmas are many. How can there be many all-pervasive Atmas? Atma is all-pervasive and timeless. Atmas are many. There are many Atmas. Are available to many jivas. So plurality of there's a plurality of Atmas. So this is the view. So Bhagavad Pada now is going to briefly mention how their view is not only Vaisheshika's view contradicts the Vedantic vision. It contradicts even the reasoning also, logic also. So we're going to see both pramanams it contradicts. Vedanta Shastra pramanam it contradicts. It contradicts also logic, reasoning. Okay. Let us go to this today's class now. I'm just going to read out Bhagavad-pada's Bhashyam, where he briefly mentions about Vaiseshika's view. Yadapi kanadanam. Atmanaha sanyogajaha. Bodaha Atmai Samavaiti. Let me make it very clear. Every sentence will make it very clear for you. Yadapi Kanadanam. Kanadanam means what? The philosophers of Kanada Matam. Kanadaha. Kanada Matam is a Vaiseshika Matam propounded by Kanada Rishi. And Kanadaha means people, the followers of the Kanada Matam are Kanadaha. The philosophers are the followers of Kanada Matam are Kanadaha. Okay, for them, Atma Manas samyogajaha bodaha. Atma manas samyogajaha. Got it? The word atma means atma. Manaha is mind. Samyogaha means combination. Atma manas samyogaha means combination. And jaha means born. So what is, what is it which is born? Bodaha. The word bodaha means consciousness or knowledge. So the conscious, the bodaha, the consciousness is born of the combination of Atma and the mind. Atma manas samyoga jaha bodaha. Samyogaha means combination. Samyoga jaha bodaha means consciousness is born of the joining, combining of Atma and the mind. Which means Atma is also inert, mind is also inert. The two inert principles combine and there originates bodaha, consciousness. Consciousness originates where Atmani Samavaiti. Bodaha Atmani Samavaiti. Bodaha, the consciousness, originates and inheres in this, in the Atma. I say inheres in the, originates in the Atma. And inheres in the Atma means what? It becomes an attribute of the Atma. See, sam is a prefix. Ava is a prefix. The two prefixes, sam plus ava plus eti. E dhatu, verb is eti. Sam, ava, eti. Together becomes what? Samavaiti. Eti means gachati. Avaiti means understands. Samavaiti means inheres. So inhering means what? Originates, consciousness originates in the Atma and inheres in the Atma means it becomes an attribute of the Atma. Okay. According to people of Kanada Matam. Okay. Kanadanam Atma Manasayogajaha Bodhaha Atmani Samavaiti. Got the first sentence now? He briefly mentions their view. Then, Ataha, therefore, Atmani Bodhrutvam. Therefore, the inert Atma becomes conscious then has the status of being the knower. So Atma, Bodhrutva means what? Atma has, Atma becomes consciousness, sorry, conscious, then Atma has the status of being the knower. Atma becomes capable of being the knower only when consciousness becomes its attribute, when consciousness inheres in the Atma. Which means Atma is dependent on the mind to combine for the origination of consciousness and thereby to become conscious and thereby to become the knower. Ataha Atmani Bodhrutvam. Therefore, there is the knower, knower status on the part of the Atma. Atmani Bodhrutvam. So mind does not know. Atma alone is the knower. Understand? Atma becomes the knower. Atmani Bodhrutvam. There is. Okay. Ataha Atmani Bodhrutvam. Having said that, what is that Atma? Natu Vikriyatmakaha Atma. But he says changelessness is the nature of the Atma. Natu Vikriyatmakaha Atma means Atma is not subject to change. The nature of the Atma is not change. Atma is not of the nature of changing. Natu Vikriyatmakaha Atma. So he also says Atma is changeless. But Dravya Matraha Tu Bhavati. Ghataha Iva Raga Samavayi. Dravya Matraha Bhavati means what? Atma is changeless. But Atma remains merely as inert substance. Dravya Matraha Bhavati. Ghataha Iva Raga Samavayi. What he says, Ragaha here means color. Samavayi means the color inheres in a pot. The inhering color is said to be Raga Samavayi. The pot, when a clay pot, we beautifully paint the clay pots. A clay pot, when it is painted, it becomes colorful. Then what happens? The pot has the color inhering in it. In the sense, pot has the color as its attribute. Just as pot has the color, the paint inhering in it, has the color as its attribute, so also Atma remains as mere inert substance, having consciousness as its attribute. Is it clear? The word bodhaha, which means knowledge or consciousness. Okay. Ghataha iva raga samavayi. See, ragaha does not mean melody here. Ragaha here means color. Ragaha ghate samavaiti iti. Raga samavayi ghataha. Similarly, Atma bodha samavayi. Just as pot is raga samavayi, Atma is bodha samavayi. Chaitanya samavayi. Which means, just as pot has color as its attribute, so also Atma, the inert substance or matter, has consciousness as its attribute when consciousness originates in it. Now Acharya says, Bhagavad Pada says, Asmin pakshe api. Asmin pakshe means what? in this view of Vaisheshika also, in this Vaisheshika's view also, api also, achetanam, dravyamatram brahma iti. What is Brahman? Absolute reality Brahman is inert, achetanam, dravyamatram, mere inert substance only. Like Bhartrupapancha's view, in the Vaisheshika's view also, Atma is mere inert substance. Asmin pakshe api Brahma achetanam dravyamatram. So Brahman is merely an inert substance in the view of Vaisheshika also. Therefore, what the Vaisheshika's view contradicts the Vedantic vision. So Acharya quotes some beautiful statements from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Aitreya Upanishad. Vijnanam Anandam Brahma. Vijnanam Anandam Brahma. What is Brahman according to Upanishad? In the vision of a Vedanti, Brahman is of the nature of consciousness or pure knowledge, a limitlessness, infinitude. Vijnanam Anandam Brahma. And Aitreya Upanishad Mahavakyam is what? Prajnanam Brahma. So Prajnanam Brahma, pure consciousness, arrived as the Swarupam of I, is nothing but Brahman, the only truth of the whole. Chait, Prajnanam Brahma, consciousness is the reality Brahman. This is the Mahavakyam from Aitreya Upanishad. So, all these Vedanta, only two are mentioned here. There are many other Vedantic statements which all uniformly declare the fact of reality. The consciousness is the very nature of the reality. They do not say consciousness as an action of the reality. They do not state consciousness as an attribute which comes also. So the word Anandam, limitlessness again, implies what? Consciousness does not originate. It has no beginning. It's a beginningless, endless, changeless nature of the timeless reality. Whereas these people differ in their views. Therefore, Vijnanam Anandam Brahma, Prajnanam Brahma, Ityadyaha Shrutayaha. Ityadyaha Shrutayaha means, so Shruti statements, Upanishadic statements such as these, Badhitaha Syuhu. They must be contradicting these statements. So, Vaisheshika's view is contradicted by these Shruti statements. He contradicted Shruti statements. So, having mentioned about Vaisheshika's view, Bhagavatpada now is going to point out the logical fallacies. When you first said Vijnanam Anandam Brahma Prajnanam Brahma, by quoting those two Shruti statements, Upanishadic statements, Acharya showed how Vaisheshika's view is contradicted. It contradicts the Vedantic vision. It also contradicts the reasoning. even though they hold on to reasoning, logic as their main pramanam, still logically also they are wrong. So he's going to say that now. The following statement, Acharya is going to show how they have logical fallacy. First he says, Atmana, point one, Atmanaha Niravayavatvena. First he says, what is Atmanaha Niravayavatvam? Niravayavatvam means partlessness. Avayavatvam means partfulness. Niravayavatvam means partlessness. As Atma is partless, Atmanaha Niravayavatvena, due to the partlessness of the Atma, is one partless whole. Therefore, Pradesha Abhavat, there is no specific location for the Atma. Pradeshaha means an area where it is available. Pradesha Abhavaha means this absence of specific locus. Pradesha Abhavat, due to the absence of any specific location, which means Atma is of the nature of partlessness, and being partless, being partless implies what is all pervasiveness, and being all pervasive, it cannot be connected to any given locus, any space. So, Pradesha Bhavaha Asti, Niravayavatvam Asti Atmanaha. Therefore, Nitya Samyuktatvat. Now, being all pervasive, being partlessly all pervasive, being not connected to any given locus, Nitya Samyuktatvat. It has permanent connection. Nitya Yuktatvam. Nitya Samyuktatvam means permanent connection. Due to its permanent connection with the mind. Due to its permanent combining with the mind. Manasaha Nitya Samyuktatvat. It must be there, because they say this. Atma is partless, Atma is not connected to any specific locus, though it is connected to everything, which means it must be connected to the mind always. That means, what happens, if it is Atma is always combined with the mind, then there must be what? Consciousness must be originating all the time. So not only in the waking and in the dream state. So there must be in the deep sleep state also, which means there cannot be such a state of experience called a deep sleep state at all. One thing. So it contradicts even our experience also, day-to-day experience. There cannot be deep sleep state. Why? Because always combined with the mind. Therefore, consciousness must be constantly originating. It cannot go. If it originates always means, then that there must be experience. Atma must be the knower always. Which means there cannot be deep sleep state. So it's again, first logical fallacy. Second thing, when you say mind, mind is not just one aspect. Mind is constituted of many thoughts pertaining to emotions, thoughts pertaining to cognitions, thoughts pertaining to memory. Of course, thought pertaining to ahankara. We leave other things. So, there must be an order. In the function of meditation, there's an order involved. Perception, mind must be functional. Perception must happen. Only when the perception happens, cognitions can happen. When the cognitions happen alone, and then when the knowledge of objects are there, then the emotions can rise, like or dislike, etc. When there's no perception, no cognition, one cannot have any anger or desire towards something. Like or dislike towards something is possible. Only when something is known. You cannot be angry towards something which you are ignorant of. You cannot have desire for something you are ignorant of. You cannot have like or dislike towards something which you are ignorant of. So, emotions are possible only when there are cognitions. And the cognitions are possible only when the perception takes place first. Only when the cognitions happen, then memory is also possible. Memory cannot happen before cognitions. What can get stored in memory? First, there must be cognition. So, in the function of meditation, there is an order. Perception of objects, followed by cognitions. The cognitions then become memory and also emotions. They contribute for emotions also. There's an order here. Suppose if Atma is always combined with the mind, then there'll be mixing up of all this. So what he says, Acharya says in this place, Smriti Utpatti Niyama Anupapattihi Aparihariya Syat. Please remember, Smriti Utpatti. Smriti Utpatti means what? The rising of, the memory. Niyama Anupapattihi Aparihariya. It will be inevitable of the disorder. Aparihariya means what? There'll be inevitability of the disorderliness in having memory, etc. Why? Because of the continuous connection of the mind with the Atma. Why there's a constant connection of the mind with the Atma? Because Atma has no specific locus. Atma is all pervasive because of its partlessness. So, niravayatvena pradesha bhavat nitya samyuktatvat cha manasaha smriti utpatti niyama anupapatti apariharya syat. There will be disorderliness of the beginning of memory. The Acharya says this. This is this is the first thing. Second thing. Samsarga dharmitvam cha atmanaha shruti smriti nyaya viruddham kalpitam syat. Please make a samsarga dharmitvam. See, they say, according to them, Atma is all pervasive, partless. If it is all pervasive, it cannot have any connection, association with anything. Even space being all pervasive, it cannot have any connection with anything. Samsarga dharmitvam. Samsarga dharmaha means having the attribute of having connection with anything. Samsarga dharma, dharma. Atmanaha samsarga dharmitvam. All pervasive atma having the status of being, having the status of having any attack, having any connection, association with anything is incorrect. You can't say something is all pervasive and it has connection with something, combining with combination with something. Therefore it is said, samsarga dharmittam cha atmanaha shruti smriti nyaya viruddham kalpitam syat. Saying that atma has, atma combines with the mind, atma's association, connection, combination with the mind actually contradicts the view of atma having connection with mind, contradicts Upanishad, contradicts the smriti, shruti, smriti, and also reasoning. Shruti viruddham, smriti viruddham, nyaya viruddham. Shruti viruddham means what? It is opposed to that Vaisheshika's view of atma having connection, association, combination with the mind, as opposed to the Shruti's vision, opposed to Smriti's vision, opposed to reasoning also, logic also. Shruti, Smriti, Nyaya Viruddham Kalpitam Syat. And he gives the relevant quotes also. What does Upanishad say? Asango nahi sajjate. Asango nahi sajjate. This reality implied by the term Atma is ever untainted, unattached, unconnected. Asangaha nahi sajjate. It doesn't touch anything. It is asangaha means it's unattached, untainted. So, being unattached, being unconnected, untainted, na sajjate, it does not touch anything, does not touch, does not attach itself to anything. This quote is from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Asango nahi sajjate. In the same way, he gives another quote from Bhagavad Gita. Asaktam sarvabhrit. Sarvabhrit means what? The only supporter of the entirety of the universe is absolutely untainted, unattached. Asaktam. Asaktam. Even if you take the grass example, water, which is the support of all the waves, the entire ocean, does not touch the ocean or the waves. For one thing to touch the other thing, for one thing to be tainted by other thing, there must be difference. There must be distance. There's no distance. Space is not touched by anything because everything exists in the space. Wall cannot touch the space. Anything which exists in space cannot touch the space. Space is untouched because it is not away from the space for something to come to near the space and touch the space. Everything exists in space. In the same way, the whole universe of countless number of beings exists in the consciousness, the Atma. Atma is a substratum existence of everything. That's why sarvam bharati iti sarvabhrata. Now you can say water is the samudra bhrat, sustainer of the entire ocean, that which lends existence to the ocean and the waves. Ocean full of waves is water. So water is samagra, samudra bhrat, taranga bhrat, sarva bhrat. In the same way, with reference to the entirety of the cosmos, sarvam bharati iti sarvabhrat, that which lends existence remaining as well as substratum of everything is the Atma. Therefore, nothing can touch the Atma. Nothing can taint the Atma. Atma cannot attach itself to anything. That's why it is said, asaktam, unattached. Atma, the sustainer, the supporter, the lender of existence of everything is absolutely unattached to anything. This is what Bhagavad Gita also says. Where Acharya says, the first quote is Shruti, the statement from Upanishad. Second quote is from Bhagavad Gita. Well, he says, asango nahi sajjate Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Then quote, then asaktam sarvabhrat is from Bhagavad Gita. So iti hi Shruti and Smriti. So Shruti also says, Smriti also says. So the 14th verse, this expression is from 14th verse of 13th chapter. And you all have done many times Bhagavad Gita. At least you must have heard these words. Asaktam sarvabhrata. Therefore, Atma touching, attaching itself to the mind, combining with the mind, etc., is something not possible. And one more he says, no? So Shruti example he gave to say how Vaiseshika's view contradicts this Shruti. Vaiseshika's view is contradicted by the Smriti, Bhagavad Gita also. He is also saying, Nyayascha. So, logic also contradicts. Nyayascha. What does the Nyaya says? Gunavat gunavata samsrijyate. Gunavat gunavata samsrijyate. Na atulya jatiyam. Na atulya jatiyam. What does it mean? According to reason, even if you use reasoning, logic also, gunavat gunavata samsrijyate. Gunavat means what? Anything which has an attribute is gunavat. Anything which has a quality is a qualification or a quality is called gunavat. Snyayascha means logic also states the same. What is that? Anything consisting of attributes is said to be gunavat. Anything having any attribute alone, samsrijyate, can be associated, connected with another thing which has attributes. Gunavata gunavat samsrijyate. A thing consisting of attributes can be combined or connected, associated with something else which has attributes. Two things having attributes can combine with each other, connect with each other, associate with each other, attach with each other. But here, Atma is attributeless. Mind is also attributeless. Both are inert matters. So combination is not possible. Atma-mind combination is not possible. That is the what he means here. Gunavad gunavata samsrujyate na atulya jatiyam. Atulya jatiyam means what? Something which is different from it. See, Atma and mind are not of the same jati. Why Atma and mind are not of the same jati? Tulya jatiya means belong to the same species, same category. Mind and Atma are not of the same category. Even though he says Atma is inert, mind is inert. Here, according to Vaiseshika Matam, Atma is huge. Atma is of the huge size, like space. He has his view. For according to Vaiseshika, Atma is of huge, Atma is of big size, huge size, like this space. And mind is tiny like an atom. He says his mind, according to Vaiseshika, mind is tiny, mind is of the size of an atom, and Atma is of the huge, the size of a huge space. So two at different things. Before Atulya Jatiyam, they're not of the Tulya Jatiyam, they're not of the same category. Therefore, mind and Atma belonging to different categories. One is of the size of the atom, another is of the size of the space. Therefore, they both are attributeless, therefore their combination is not possible. Gunavad gunavata samsrujyate. Combination is always of a thing consisting of attributes with another thing having attributes. Therefore, what he says now? Ataha. So, he contradicts. Vaiseshika's view is contradicted by Shruti, Smriti and Nyaya. Upanishad contradicts. Smriti Bhagavad Gita contradicts. And also reasoning, the logic also. Logical fallacy also. All pramanams negate Vaiseshika's view as fallacious. Now, having said that, Acharya says here, is it clear until now what I said is clear? Okay. We don't need to know what is Vaiseshika's view at all. Just to show, if we do not hold on to Upanishad, if we take any philosopher's view, we'll be in trouble. We'll be confused. Everything clear here? Everybody's clear? Okay.
Swamiji, just where did Bhashyakara start speaking, and where Purvapakshi was speaking and where Bhashyakara was speaking?
See, there's no Purvapakshi. Bhashyakara himself is saying everything.
Okay.
Purvapakshi doesn't come and talk here. Bhashyakara mentions that there is a Jnana Vaiseshika person and it is his view, and if this is the view and how his view is contradicted by Shruti, Smriti and reasoning. Purvapakshi doesn't come and ask here. Bhashyakara himself presents everything.
Swamiji, Kalpitam? You know where we said Shruti Smriti Nyaya Viruddham Kalpitam Syat? Kalpitam?
See, Kalpita means it becomes opposed to. Viruddham Kalpita means it becomes opposed. See, Kalpita literally if you take imagined, but you don't take that meaning here. You have to be very careful. Contextually you have to see. Viruddham Kalpita means it becomes opposed. That's the meaning. Viruddham Bhavati, that's the meaning. Kalpitam Syat taken as Viruddham Bhavati. It is like saying, opposition is created. Literally, you can't take literally. Understand now? It becomes a contradicted. It is contradicted. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Bhyo Namaha Harihi Om.